were still quiet and meditative. This morning, I want us to lift up in prayer Val and James Gray and Dolores, Val's moms, who are right here in the second row. And as many of you know, Val has been battling cancer for the last 5 years. And a few weeks ago, she went into some surgery, and she's been in the hospital for 21 days. And we're just asking that the Lord continue to heal her, and that the Lord would give an extra amount of grace to James and Dolores as they are by her side and with her. And we just want to lift this family up. For those of you who know Val and James, you know that they are passionate believers, a passion for the Word, a passion for missions, passion for people, and that's what we're about, and they emulate that so well in their lives. And as we support them, we want to lift them up and lift Val up specifically, that the Lord would continue to work in her life and her body as she is fighting. Would you pray with me? Father God, we lift up Val right now, and Lord, you are the great physician, and we ask for your healing touch to be upon her. Father, we ask that your will would be done in her life. And she has touched so many of us. She has prayed for me, and I know that for this church, that we all sit here today because, and affected in many ways because of her prayers, for some of us specifically, but many of us even generally, as she has lifted up this church and continues to do so. Father, I pray for Dolores as she, well, is by her side as well, and for James, the loving husband, as he has been there through sickness and in health. And so we lift this family up to you today, and we bring it to you, and we thank you for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today, as we embark on our journey that is called The Story, and simply for the next several months, we're going to go through a 31-week message series. Now, don't worry, we're not going to go through 31 weeks consecutively. Some of you who know me know that I'm ADD, and I can't focus on anything for that length of a time. So we're going to handle 4 or 5 weeks, take a few weeks off, 4 or 5 weeks, take a few weeks off. And so we're going to spend the next year going through the story. And it reminds me of the importance of a story. Our little boy was going to bed, and as oftentimes little boys do, he wasn't quite ready to go to bed. And so he calls his dad. He says, "Dad, I need a drink." Any of you ever been there? Any of you ever had to deal with that? And so the dad, being a good dad, he says, "Okay, I'm going to go take my son a drink." And he gets a little Dixie cup full of water and takes it up and gives it to his son. And, "Thanks, Dad, I can go to bed now." And the dad walks downstairs, and no more does he get back in his recliner. "Dad, I need a drink." Dad's like, "Okay, I'm going to be patient about this." So he goes, gets that Dixie cup, fills it back up, takes it back up to him, and says, "Okay, here you go, son. I really love you, so I'm giving you the second drink, but you really need to go to bed." "Gee, thanks, Dad. I can go to bed now." So again, the guy gets down. He doesn't even get in the recliner this time. "Dad, I need a drink." Well, Dad's about had it at this point. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about here. And so he says, "Okay, this is it. This is my final time." He gets the cup. He fills it up with water. He goes back upstairs to the little boy's bedroom. And he says, "Son, listen, I love you very much. But you need to go to bed. This is the final drink. This is, take it. And if you do it again, I'm going to have to punish you." And so the little boy says, "All right, Dad, thanks for bringing me a drink. I think I can go to bed now." And so the dad goes down, and he waits, you know, just to make sure. And so he finally sits down in his recliner. For 10 minutes, silence. You know, nothing's coming from the bedroom. Then all of a sudden, "Dad, when you come up to punish me, can you bring me a drink of water?" You know, there's two things that kids do to delay going to sleep. One is, "You bring me a drink," and what's the other one? "Tell me a story. Tell me a story." We all love stories, don't we? We like to hear stories. We like to read stories. Television is a great testimony to the fact that we like to be engaged in a story. I remember my mom had the blessing of being a stay-at-home mom and a housewife while me and my 4 other brothers and sister, older siblings, were growing up. And I remember coming home early from school sometimes, if we had early dismissal, and she was, "Shh, I'm watching my stories." You know, how many of you guys still call it that? Anybody remember when you called it that? Some of you still do. Some of you are looking at me like, what's he talking about? But anyway, we like stories. I love to read fiction. I love to hear about stories. I love historical fiction, which are made up stories that take place within the real context of a historical event. And I get drawn in. I like the characters. And I feel as though I'm a part of the story. You know, the amazing thing is God has left each one of us a story in His Word. And it has a consistent theme that goes all the way through the story. And so for the next 31 weeks as we look at this, we are going to see how God's story has to do with us. And that these aren't just individual stories of Noah and the Ark or stories of David and Goliath or Daniel and the lion's den. And they're not just out there to be nice little anecdotal type of stories that have no meaning. All of these things have a consistent theme that point us through the Scripture to Jesus Christ. And what we want to do is we're going to take the story and go through in a chronological order and look at each one of these things and apply it out. It applies to each one of our lives. Now, many of you may not know this, but your Bible is not written in a chronological order. The Bible is compiled in themes and also stories. Some of it's in chronological order, but not all of it is. And so we have adopted a great resource for us to use as we do this. And this is The Story. This is a book that is written by Max Lucado and Randy Frazee, who have put together in chronological order, almost as a novel, the Scripture. Now, as you read through this Scripture, as you read through this, about 80% of this is Scripture, and then 20% is bridging text or commentary to explain what's going on and to explain how this is in a different order than maybe you find in Scriptures. And so what happens is, as you go through this, you'll see that there's a lot of different things. Now, this is meant to be a supplement, a resource. Let me get something very clear from the get-go. This is God's Word and the authority of which I base my life. This is simply a resource that I would want every one of you to participate in and get a copy of this. We have some out in the back for $5. You can get it at Amazon.com. You can also download them if you have a Kindle or a some sort of reader. But understand, we are not replacing God's Word with this. We are supplementing and we're using this as a resource to help us understand God's Word as we go through it. And as you go through here, and if you have, did anybody happen, I know we've given away or we've sold a lot of these, many of you guys, anyone happen to bring theirs today? Okay, we have a few people. If you look inside of yours, like on page 7, you'll see how this is different. Page 7, you'll actually see regular print. And in that print, that is quoted Scripture. But then you'll see some italicized prints and then some footnotes as well. Those things are not Scripture. Those are simply bridging text. They're summary statements that help lead us to the next connection of the story. Now, when you come on Sunday mornings, what we're going to be reading out of is God's Word. But through the week, every week, you will have the opportunity to read the story. And we're going to cover a lot of different things. And so, here's your first assignment. I want to invite everyone to be a part of this assignment. And that's this. I want you to read chapter 1. Chapter 1 for next week, as we come back, it's 12 pages long, so you can read 2 pages a day and have a day off if you want to. Or you can use that day for the day you got busy and didn't get to read, because it happens to all of us. So I want to invite you just to read the first chapter of this book. And we're going to cover a lot of territory next week. Now, so next week we're going to start with creation. We're going to cover Adam and Eve. And we're going to talk about Noah. Now, that's a lot of information for one message. And so there are study questions in the back of this. But also, we want to invite you to be a part of a story Bible study. And this is a 31-week study that we're doing in a small group format. Many of our small groups are participating in this. We're going to have some small groups available also on Wednesday evening where we will all meet together for a time, watch a video, and then break down into smaller groups and have some discussion and build some friendships and relationships. And we're going to do that on Wednesday and also on Sunday. And Mike Lovell, as you leave today, is Mike in here? Okay, Mike will be back in the foyer at the table as you leave here, the table to the right, where you can pick up a copy of the story and then also sign up for a small group if you're not already in one or your small group's not doing one. and want you to be involved with this. Now, again, like I said earlier this morning, we have a couple other things. We have the Financial Peace University. We have some other things. We're doing this one for 31 weeks. This is going to last the rest of the year. If you need to be in one of those other ones right now, by all means, please do those things. And then you can join up in the group when after the 4 or 8, 9 weeks of the other study is done. And we're still going to be going in with this. But we want you to do every day your readings. And so when we come in, we all have read the same thing. And then we're going to use the scripture and learn how this all ties together and incorporates each one of us. And we're also doing this church-wide. We're doing it with our children's ministry, and we're doing it with our teen ministry. That's why our teens are with us today as we sort of introduce the story and get it going. And there are several resources available for that as well. We have the teen. I don't have a copy of the teen one, but we have a story for teens and also for children as well at different ages. And this is a great thing for you to discuss as a family, and some resources available for you as well. And there's one more thing. Some of you are really just academically geared and really are good learners, and you want to dig even a little bit deeper than we're going to go in the small group Bible studies or on Sunday morning. There's also a reference companion that has some great illustrations, describes the people, gives the background of all the people we'll be talking about. Whether you want to dig deeper or you just want to supplement even with more knowledge and understanding, this resource is available to you as well. Like I said, Mike will be in the back to answer questions as you guys leave. And Mike Lovell has done a tremendous amount of work to put all of these things together. And I really appreciate and want to thank him. And also Kevin and Kristen for incorporating the children's ministry as we all work together for a common understanding. And so why are we doing this? Why do we want to do this? Well, we think it's important because we want everyone to know that this isn't just another book. That this is God's Word. And we see that in our culture, we are at a crisis of spiritual illiteracy. That means we have a lot of believers who claim and have accepted Jesus Christ, but yet they know very little about how to follow Him in their life and what the Bible says about things. And we want to bring everyone into an understanding of the whole picture. You see, I want you to know that we need to all be learning. The Barna group that I referred to earlier that's doing the You Lost Me seminar, they did research a few years ago of Christians. These are people who went to church, and they asked them this question. They were trying to gauge biblical literacy, and they asked, who is Joan of Arc? Now, these are Christians who read the scripture and believe the Bible, and they asked this question, who is Joan of Arc? 20% of the people said, that must be Noah's wife, Joan. Now we joke about that, and some of you are like, isn't it not? You know, and that's okay. And here's the goal. My goal here in doing this isn't to make anyone feel bad about not understanding or not knowing the Scripture. What I find is that most Christians maybe know a few passages. John 3:16, thanks to Tim Tebow, you know, we know that now. Or the Lord's Prayer, the 23rd Psalm, or we know a verse here or there. But very few of us really know how it all ties together. And that these are all purposeful stories. And that as from the beginning of time, it all points to Jesus Christ. And then it all involves us as well. And so I don't want anyone to feel bad or embarrassed that maybe you lack knowledge. Maybe you just haven't had the opportunities. Maybe you're relatively new to Christianity and you just don't know that. But what I'm not okay with is that in a year from now, if we look back and we have not grown in our understanding of God and our understanding of Scripture, then we have a problem. And so as a church, we're going to go through this and see how this fits into our lives. This book is different from anyone else. And I have to remember also that it's important because why would God go through all the effort of sending His Son to die on a cross for us to redeem all mankind and not leave a message, not leave a book for us to understand how we can partake of that same gifts that were received back when Jesus was on the earth. The Bible tells us in several scriptures, 1 Timothy 3:16, that the Bible is important. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. We did a study on this verse. We looked at the Greek. It's there for God breathed, theopneustos. And the Greek theo means God, and pneustos means breath. It's where we get the word pneumonia. And so we know that this book is actually God's breath to us. It's written through man, but is inspired by God. We also know in 1 Peter 1, chapter 24, that the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the Word of God, guess what? It stands forever. It has stood the test of time, and it's going to continue to stand through time. And when we begin to read and understand the Bible, we begin to understand how His Word relates to my life, and that I'm not here by accident. None of us are here by accident. And that through His Word, we realize that God has a plan for us. We have a text today that I want us to look at in the book of Luke that gives us an example and shows us how this is for us today. And how even though this story, this book has stories from things that happened thousands of years ago, that today it is also a story for us. And let me set the stage here a little bit with what's going on in the book of Luke. We have Jesus who had been on earth for 33 years, and for 3 years He had gone around and He had taught, He had gathered His disciples, and all the miraculous things that happened with Jesus. And so we see this happening. Well, then all of a sudden there's chaos and there's conflict, and the Jewish leaders and the Romans leaders conspire together to arrest Him and falsely accuse Him. It's what we've been talking about the last several weeks leading up to Easter. And then we know that He was crucified. But here's where we pick up the story. We pick up the story a couple days later. This is the second day. This is Sunday. And it's the third day that Jesus he's risen from the dead. And so where we pick this up is that there were some women who were taking some spices to Jesus' grave. And they were walking along very unsuspectedly. They figured they were going to go there and honor Jesus. And when they get there, they're surprised because lo and behold, the tomb, the big rock, there's a big boulder that was put in place that would seal the tomb. This boulder had been moved aside. And I can just imagine, you know, what these ladies were thinking. You know, it's like, what's going on here? Why is the boulder not there? We saw it put in place. We knew it was here. And I can just imagine, I don't know how, it doesn't say how many, sometimes we just assume two, but there's a few of these ladies, and the Bible says they went into the tomb. Now, can you imagine this? If you and your friends, I mean, you know, sometimes if you go to a cemetery, it's a little spooky anyway, right, kids? You know, you guys do that. I can just imagine them. You go in. No, you go in. No, I'm not going. Well, let's go in together. And so, you know, they take this step inside the tomb, and the Bible says they're inside the tomb, and the tomb is empty, except angels were there. And they said, Jesus Christ is not here. He is risen just as He had said. And these women are blown away. They're like, wow. He actually has been raised from the dead. He's not here. We see it with our own eyes. These angels, these vision of angels are telling us what's going on. So they're excited and they leave and they go find Jesus' disciples. And they go up to the disciples and say, hey guys, guess what? We went to the tomb and it's empty. He's risen. Now, I don't know where He is, but he's risen just as He said He would. And I can imagine the response of the disciples. No, you must be confused. I know I don't want Him to be dead either, but we saw Him die on the cross. We know He's dead. You guys must be misunderstanding what's going on. And they said, no, come follow us. And so, you know, they have to go as well. And when we pick up the story, there are two people, and they're walking on a road. And they're walking on the road from Jerusalem to a town called Emmaus. And on the road to Emmaus, Jesus walks up to them and starts just walking beside them. They're minding their own business. And for some reason, we don't know why, they don't recognize who Jesus is. So here's Jesus. He's walking. And this is where we pick up the story. And these two guys say, oh, okay, you can join us in our walk. We're just we're a little upset right now. And so they're walking with their heads down. And Jesus joins them. And they don't know who He is. And this is where we pick up the story in verse 24, chapter 24 of Luke in verse 17. And this tells us a lot about Jesus. And He says this. He asked them, referring to Jesus, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood there with their faces downcast. And one of them, named Cleopas, asked Him, are you only visiting Jerusalem
Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? They're like, have you been gone? I mean, are you oblivious? Jesus Christ was killed. Why were their heads hung low? Because they were followers of Jesus. The things that have happened, they couldn't make sense. They couldn't reconcile. They were upset because their Jesus, who they followed, was killed. And yet we look at this, and what does Jesus do? What does Jesus do? He sits there and asks them and says, hey, what are you guys doing? What's going on? How are you doing? And instead of Jesus saying, hey, look here, I'm the Messiah, he could have easily talked about himself. But no, he shows us, and our point number one here is that your story matters to God. Before Jesus tells them anything about his story, he asks them about their story. And as we talk about this Q Place ministry, this is one of the really important principles, is that we listen to other people's stories, just as Jesus did. And they poured it out in verse 19. They said, we're hurt. We're confused. There's all this chaos. How do you not know? Were you absent when all this happened? Because they didn't realize it was him. But even within the doubt, even within their fear, and even within the chaos, he listens and he cares. You see, I believe that most people don't care about God's story, about the Scripture, until they understand that God cares about their story. You know, I talk to a lot of people, and the one thing I realize that most people are looking for is something greater in their life. They're looking for how their own story has significance and meaning and purpose. It reminds me of an interview with Tom Brady several years ago. He had just won his third Super Bowl. Tom Brady is very successful. Not only has he won three Super Bowls, has you know, really at the pinnacle of what you would consider success, he also has all these lucrative contracts, and I hear the ladies think he's good-looking as well. I don't know about that, but I'll let you guys decide. So here's this very successful quarterback, and they're asking him all about these wins and successes. And then all of a sudden, he turns the table. He asks this question to the person who was interviewing him. He says, then why am I still looking for something? If I've won three Super Bowls, if I have all this money, all these lucrative contracts, why am I looking for something more in life? It's because we realize that without God in our life, without understanding how the success of our life plays in and has purpose and meaning in the long-term story of God, then we're unfulfilled. And you see, when we look at this, there's something more to life, and it begins by seeing when your story intersects with God's story. See, God knows when you're downcast, and He cares. God knows when you're confused in life, and we know that He still cares for us and loves us. God knows when things don't make sense, and when you hurt and you're thinking, how does this all make sense? He cares about your story. Well, then He goes on to something else that really blows me away. And He starts something very interesting in His response to their question. It's found in verse 27. He begins doing something, and He begins taking them back all the way to Moses. It says, in the beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all Scriptures concerning Himself. Why would He do that? Why wouldn't He just focus on the things that had happened just at that time? It's because this. He is showing them that through all time, God's story is being fulfilled. And in this case, it's being fulfilled in His life. You see, the common theme that we see throughout Scripture is that it is God's desire to redeem mankind to Himself, despite our failures. See, we can look through the Scriptures, and we can divide it into three basic sections and describe it with three phrases. We can look back at the Old Testament. And the phrase that describes the Old Testament is this: Jesus is coming. And then we can take the Gospels, the first four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John of the New Testament. They're the ones that tell the story of Jesus and His ministry here on earth. Those say Jesus is here. And then we can take the rest of the New Testament, the epistles and the writings and Revelation, and we can look at all those things which simply state that God is going to return. Jesus is going to return. Jesus is coming, Jesus is here, and Jesus is going to return. And without Jesus, our story is incomplete. Regardless of our money, regardless of our success, or how many Super Bowl somebody wins,
Without God, we are incomplete. There's a reoccurring theme that Randy Frazee has developed in here, and Max. And as you read through, and we're going to talk about this on Sunday mornings, and so there's, as the story goes along, as we look through the story chronologically, there's two stories actually happening. There's the lower story that's going on, and then there's an upper story that's going on. And let me explain it to you like this, and this will sort of make sense when you start to read through this. The lower story is us living life here on earth. It's the things in life. It's the struggle that Adam and Eve had with sin. It's Noah building an ark, even though the nearest water is miles and miles away. It's Daniel in the lion's den. It's all of these things. And for us, it's the everyday things of life. It's going to work. For us, it's the lower story is paying bills and struggling with raising our children and making commitments and dealing with sin and all the things in life that we deal with. And that's the lower story. But we must never forget that while this lower story is going on, and my eyes have been opened so much to this, and I'm so thankful for these writers for pointing this out to me. We can go through Scripture, and we can go through our lives and see that there is an upper story. This is the heavenly story. This is how God is at work in all of those lower story things that sometimes don't make sense, that sometimes we look at and think, oh my goodness, what's going on in my life? This isn't how I planned it to be. But you know, we see God is at work. Let me give you an explanation of this. And about 13 years ago, I was preaching at a very small church. And it was a church, I'll tell you, the first day when I came, everyone came out to see the new preacher, and 23 people showed up. And that's how small this church was. But, you know, the Lord had called me to this ministry, and I had been there for a while, and I had become discontent with that ministry. The church didn't get that small or stay that small because they were doing things right. There was a lot of dysfunction that had played years and years and years, and unfortunately that church no longer exists. Oh, maybe fortunately. But anyway, that's up to the Lord. But as I look there, there was a time where I had opportunity to go minister at a church down West Palm Beach, Florida. And I remember I had done phone interviews, and we had talked and back and forth, and I had submitted resumes and questionnaires, and we really seemed to have an affinity, the people who I was talking with. And we went back and forth, and this is a long process, and I really thought, oh, this is it. You know, this is where God's leading me. I prayed about it. I prayed for it. I said, Lord, I really want this, and this would be so good for me. I could go to a larger church that has some activity and some functional leadership and some different things. And what happened was I get that call. I remember it was Thanksgiving weekend, and I don't remember what year it was, but several years ago, it was Thanksgiving weekend, and I thought, oh, I'm going to go to my family and be able to make this great announcement that we're going to be moving to Florida. And it was, Chad, thanks so much for your time. We really, really had a difficult time. We really liked you, but we just don't feel led to hire you. And I was crushed. I was devastated. I was angry at God. I was frustrated with these people I was working with in this church, and I was angry because my family was starting to get larger and growing up a little bit, and I just felt this was, you know, I'm like, God, what did I do wrong? You ever feel that way? Let me tell you something. As time went on, I am so thankful that I did not get that job. Because a couple of things happened. One, it was not too long after that my mother was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. She had a quick battle with her cancer, and she passed away, and I'm so glad that I was able to be in town and that I was able to be there through those moments of my mother's last days. I'm glad that my grandchildren were able to have those moments. And if we lived 1,200 miles away in West Palm Beach, that wouldn't have been able to happen. It also connected me with another church that was a much larger church, and I was able to be a part of that staff for several years, which ultimately led to the connection that led me here. And see, while this lower story didn't make sense to me at the time, while I was angry with God, things didn't work out like I thought they were going to, God's upper story was being played out in my life. And so when we realize that there's not just our life here, but there's this upper story, and that we are a part of this story and God is working His plan, even though we don't realize it. These two followers of Jesus, they were walking down the road. Jesus was right next to them, and they didn't have a clue. And so we realize that God's story is all about Jesus. And then we realize this third thing. And it really ties into this, and is that not only is God's story continuing, that we are all a part of His story. That we're a part of His story. We are a part of what happened all the way back in Genesis. That all of these things were happening because God knew that each one of us, that we were going to exist. And we're a part of His story. And listen, let's go ahead and read in verse 28 through 31 of Luke 24, which says this. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if He were going further. But they urged Him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So He went in to stay with them. When He was at the table with them, He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized Him, and He disappeared from their sight. You know, it's amazing here that they realized that they were in the presence of God, yet they didn't even know it. And as you read further, they're like, wow, how foolish have we been? But as we look back, didn't our hearts burn when He was telling us about Himself? Didn't we have that feeling? Wasn't there, you know, those things here as He read Scripture to us? And they realized that Jesus was with them all along. And God is working with us, and we are all a part of His story. Even though at times in life it may not seem that's the case. Many of you may have heard and read in the newspapers or online that Rick Warren, who is the minister of Saddleback Church and has written the 40 Days in the Word campaign that we were a part of last year and a lot of other things that have influenced Christians, the Purpose-Driven Life and the book, and also the book, The Purpose-Driven Church. You may have heard that his adult son of 27 years old took his own life yesterday after a lifelong battle with mental illness. And Rick had written a nice letter to his church asking for prayers. And somebody who was close to him wrote this. And he says, "We know Rick will use this to draw close to God in new ways, to understand the great depths of God's love. And he'll use it to rely on Him as he has never had to do before." You see, the attitude here is that regardless of what we go through in life, see, if we believe that we are a part of God's story, we believe that God will work all of these things, although tragic, although difficult, He'll work them together for good. And He's shaping a plan that sometimes we just don't see the answers to. But the first part is to understand how God has worked through history, how God has worked through the Israelites and through His people and through people throughout the ages to see that our life intersects with His life. And this is much more than learning stories, folks. It's not just about knowing God's Word. It's about understanding and feeling and participating and having God's Word within us. See, God's story is being written in your life today, whether you realize it or not. Being written in the story of a man who goes to work and despite being surrounded by people who curse God and who act in ways that don't honor God, he stays strong in his witness and he doesn't participate in the gossip and the different things at work and in the office. God's story is being played out in the life of a couple who stay faithful and they pray hard even though their marriage is on the rocks, yet they've committed to stay together when others so willingly ended it. It's in the life of a woman who battles cancer, but ultimately says, "Lord, Your will be done in my life." It's in the life of an ordinary Christian who stays faithful to God, who stays faithful to the church and bringing up their children in the way, even though the pressures and stresses and needs of life are pulling that person and pulling that family in a thousand different directions. They say, "We're going to stay committed to God. We're going to stay committed to the church." That takes priority in our life. It's played out in the life of a church that honors God and in the life of a church that fights to keep the unity when Satan tries to destroy the unity. But it's being lived out in ECC. As we're not perfect people, I'm not a perfect minister, yet we've made a commitment to stay strong to God's Word, to learn God's Word, to see how it applies to our life. This morning, please know that your story fits in God's story. If you'll just open up you'll take the time to know His Word, to understand how He works in each one of our lives. Would you pray with me? Father God, as we come before You today, I am so thankful for